Lazy, as defined by Merriam-Webster, disinclined to activity or exertion, not energetic or vigorous. This apparently is what the editors and writers of our podcast have been for the past months.
Don't forget, idle, indolent, slothful, work-shy, shiftless, loafing, inactive, inert, sluggish, lethargic, languorous, listless, torpid, enervated, slow-moving, slow.
I think they get the point.
Also, heavy, dull, plodding, remiss, negligent, slack, lax, lackadaisical, impassive, good for nothing, do nothing.
Let's just start the show before we all get fired.
My dearest Brian, it is so wonderful to be back from holiday.
Agreed, darling, I rather missed the smell of the studio. It has a certain je ne sais quoi.
Did you just try to speak in French?
I did. Wasn't that quite provincial? I rather like to express my knowledge of other cultures every now and then.
Sorry, dear, but that was ridiculous if you ask me. You are not French and have no knowledge of anything from there. Why not just say what you mean in English? That would be provincial.
My apologies, I guess I got carried away after watching that fantastic French film. La Femme Fatale. It reminded me of the time we were dating. Do you remember how you put me in my place after I failed to thank your mother for the first dinner I had at your flat?
Of course I do, you were rude as can be. My mother still reminds me of that day. You deserved that tongue lashing. It should have been an indicator of the type of man you were. Good thing that it did not turn out to be that.
Yes, good thing indeed. I have apologized for my behavior to your mother for years now. However, I have digressed from our topic. It is good to be back. We are excited to start a new season. We receive many requests regarding the Morgue Chronicles. Our writer is working fervently on bringing those requests to fruition. Season 3 is still being worked on.
That is true, although, we have made great progress on getting episodes ready. In the meantime, our editors have taken the last season and remastered into one episode for your enjoyment.
We present to you now, Morgue Chronicles, the complete episode. Meet Noah. He works as an IT specialist at Newman General Hospital. His job consists of taking care of computer issues that occur at the hospital every day. He likes the work for the most part, except for when he has to go to the basement. The basement is where all dead things go to at the hospital. Old computers, medical carts, printers, X-ray machines, and humans. That last part is what tends to freak him out sometimes. With advances in technology, it seems that medical examiners now need a computer in order to effectively do their work. Computers there seem to not enjoy being relegated to the basement. They have a higher than normal rate of computer issues, which means Noah spends a lot of time in the morgue. Part of the issue is that their resident medical examiner should have retired 10 years ago and really doesn't know how to use the system properly. It was a typical Friday afternoon when he got a phone call at his desk from Lizzie, the deaner on duty. Apparently, Dr. Ayers forgot his password and locked out their system again. Due to the nature of their work, and because Dr. Ayers doesn't understand security, the morgue system is air-gapped. Noah allows their system to be on the hospital network once a day after extensive scanning for malicious files. Since they were locked out and the system wasn't online at the moment, he had to make a visit to the basement. Noah didn't mind, however, since he had a reason to go to the morgue anyway. He looked at his watch and realized that his shift was almost over. Noah thought about creating a help desk ticket and assigning it to night shift Dearest. Dearest hated the morgue more than Noah did. Noah sighed and grabbed his keys, figuring that he would just go home from the morgue once he got the morgue system running. He headed towards the elevator and pressed the down button. Noah entered the elevator and ran into Dr. Bob Bobber.
Hello, Noah. How has your Friday been so far?
Hey, Dr. Bobber. Typical Friday. I was on my way out when I got a phone call from the morgue.
Dr. Ayers hasn't retired yet?
No, not yet. I'm heading down there to take care of some of their issues.
Excellent. Try not to stay long. Remember that they are doing generator tests down in the basement tonight. It won't affect floors 1 and higher, only the basement.
That's right. I forgot about that. Thanks for the reminder, Dr. B.
You're very welcome. Well, this is my stop. Come see me on Monday, and we'll do lunch.
Sure thing. Have a great night and a great weekend.
Noah met Dr. Bob a few years ago when Noah was working part-time at a computer repair shop. Dr. Bob had brought in his daughter's laptop, who was frantic because she thought she lost her college thesis. Noah was able to easily recover the data and took the laptop back to Dr. Bob's home. Noah didn't normally do that, but since the doctor's daughter sounded super stressed and it was on Noah's way home, he figured he would do them a favor. Dropping off the laptop turned into staying for dinner, which turned into Noah going to a golf outing that weekend. Dr. Bob introduced Noah to the hospital administrator during the game, which turned into Noah working at the hospital ever since. If it wasn't for Lizzie, Noah would have given this task to Dearest. He forgot all about the generator tests tonight. Newman General Hospital had a state inspection coming soon, and building services wanted to make sure the emergency generator system was working correctly. The elevator slowly and hesitantly made its way to the basement. The basement level seemed to be 5 degrees cooler than the rest of the hospital. Noah pulled the zipper to his pullover a little higher as he stepped off the elevator. The fluorescent lights flickered as he made his way down the long corridors, weaving his way through the maze that led to the morgue. His footsteps sounded hollow as he walked down the empty corridors. The usually busy storage areas looked like a ghost town this particular Friday afternoon. No one wanted to be around once the generator testing started. He could hear music playing as he got closer to the morgue. It sounded like Farewell by Uncle. That meant that Lizzie was probably busy washing a new resident of the morgue. She was one of two deaners that the hospital employed. You're probably wondering what a deaner is? I don't blame you, I didn't know myself until a few years ago. A deaner is a fancy word for a morgue attendant, also known as an autopsy specialist. They assist the medical examiner with prep of the body and collecting and cataloging evidence. Lizzie always played music when she was prepping a body. Noah cautiously approached the morgue entrance since he didn't want to come across a naked corpse. He knocked on the door and waited for Lizzie to tell him to enter. She knew that Noah didn't feel comfortable among the dead bodies and would usually cover any corpses that she had in there before he came in. Noah thought he heard her say, "Come in." He slowly opened the door and immediately realized he heard her incorrectly. There were several uncovered bodies in different stages of undress in the morgue. Lizzie was busy trying to cover them all when he came in.
I said, "Give me a few minutes."
"Sorry, I heard you wrong." "Wow, that's a lot of corpses."
"I know, there was a mass grave dug up at the construction site on Route 24. The bodies were all brought here. Dr. Ayers wants to start the autopsies right away."
"But it's Friday."
"I know, being stuck here on a Friday night is the last thing that I want to do."
"What are those markings on the bodies?"
"You noticed that too, huh? Dr. Ayers said I was seeing things, so did the attendant that brought the bodies in. His name is Sam. I think he's friends with Tony from Kitchen Services. I was washing one of the bodies that Dr. Ayers had already examined, to see if a UV filter on the camera would pick it up."
"Did it?"
"You showed up as I was about to do it."
"Sorry. Don't let me interrupt. I'm going to unlock your system while you do that. I'll need a few minutes to generate a new two-factor authentication code. Where is Dr. Ayers anyway?"
"I don't know. He told me to call you when he locked the system, and then left. I haven't seen him since."
"That's not like him. I hope everything's okay. If it's okay with you, I'm going to the other room and start my work. You know how I feel about these bodies."
"Sure, I have things to do myself."
Noah headed into the office and sat down in front of the system. He could see that Dr. Ayers' credentials were the last ones attempting to log in. Noah rebooted the system and, using a special key combination known only to a few of those in IT, booted into a hidden menu. The menu was asking for a random 6-digit code. He pulled his phone out of his pocket and used his fingerprint to authenticate to it. Noah then opened the 2-factor authentication app and generated the 6-digit code. This now allowed him to unlock the system. Noah performed the system backup while he was there and then proceeded to log back in. He could see that Dr. Ayers had started to enter notes regarding the bodies that had been brought in. Dr. Ayers had visually inspected them and noted that although well preserved, their estimated time of death was at least 7 years. Dr. Ayers was beginning to enter his findings for the first autopsy but stopped mid-sentence for some reason. Dr. Ayers may not have been a wizard with computers, but he was very thorough and would never leave a thought uncompleted. Noah found it strange that Dr. Ayers stopped at the point he did. Something or someone must have interrupted him. Noah saved Dr. Ayers' work and logged off of the computer. He grabbed his keys and proceeded to say goodbye to Lizzie. Noah stepped out of the office only to find himself in the presence of what seemed like more bodies than before. He called out to Lizzie but did not get a response. Her Samsung Note was still on the metal examining table playing her Spotify playlist. That was very odd. He had an uneasy feeling about things and just wanted to get the heck out of there. He yelled out,
"Have a great weekend, Lizzie!"
and was about to walk out of the morgue when the lights went out.
Crap.
The generator testing had started.
The emergency lights came on, bathing the room in an eerie red glow. The lights should turn on any second once the generators kicked in, at least that's what should have happened. It didn't, of course, and now he was apparently alone in the morgue with an undetermined number of corpses with nothing but red emergency lighting. Noah immediately went to pick up the handset for one of the phones in the morgue only to find it dead. The hospital had switched over to a voice over IP system a few years back, and now that the power was out, the switches that powered the phones were off. He reached for his cell phone only to find it without any signal. That was normal for being in the hospital basement, however he should be able to make a Wi-Fi call. Except that the Wi-Fi access points were also down because they were power over Ethernet and the switch they were plugged into was down.
Have I said how much I really don't like being down here?
He made his way to the elevators in the red light. Have you ever noticed how a normal everyday object can take on a frightening aspect when you are in the dark? Gurneys in the hallway took on the shapes of coffins. The usually brightly lit snack machine now looked like a 6-foot-tall angry monster. Walking down the hallway, he used his cell phone light to help him see the way. Noah kept looking for the red exit signs to help guide him in the right direction. They should all have their own backup battery, but he didn't see a single one lit. Building services really had their work cut out for them. Noah slowly made his way down the halls, taking turns out of memory, hoping he was heading the right way. He thought he heard the shuffling of feet behind him. Noah stopped to listen but didn't hear anything. He sped up his pace, trying to get to the elevator sooner rather than later. He couldn't shake the feeling that he was either being watched or followed, maybe both. He finally turned the corner where the elevators should have been, only to realize he went in a big circle. Noah was back at the morgue entrance. It was quiet, too quiet. He had left Lizzie's phone playing her music, now there was only silence. He really didn't like it down there. Noah could either try and find his way out of there again, before his cell phone battery died, or he could try and find Lizzie, or he could go lock himself in the morgue office and wait this thing out. Lizzie probably went to the bathroom while he was working on their system. She was most likely back in the morgue, which is why her music wasn't playing any longer. With that in mind, Noah decided to go back into the morgue and, worst case, lock himself in the office if Lizzie wasn't around. He took a deep breath and walked into the morgue. Something seemed to have changed in the room. He couldn't tell what it was, but there definitely felt like something was different. Noah didn't see Lizzie, so he decided on plan B and headed towards the morgue office. As he was walking past the coat closet, a hand reached out of nowhere and grabbed him by the wrist. He almost let out a scream as he was pulled into the closet. A soft hand put itself over his mouth to prevent his scream.
"Lizzie, what are we doing in the closet?"
"Obviously hiding. I didn't know where you were once the lights went out. Why are you whispering?"
No reason. I thought you had left. The lights went out and the phones weren't working. I was trying to make my way back upstairs.
I'm glad you're back. I don't think we're alone, though.
What do you mean? Who else is here?
I don't know. It's just a feeling that I have, like someone is watching me, or following me, or both.
I know what you mean.
I took the picture of the markings on the bodies, and noticed that you had brought the system back up. I went to the bathroom right away since it has better lighting. I was about to upload them when the power went out. I stayed in there since it has a battery-powered light. I had just come back into the morgue to see if you were here when I heard a noise. I then ducked into this closet.
That's right. The bathrooms have lights on a UPS. I was about to say goodbye to you when the power went out. I wasn't sure where you went, so I headed out.
Take a look at this picture.
Is that the marking on all the bodies?
Yes.
Is that what I think it is?
I was wondering the same thing.
It looks like the hospital's new logo. But that can't be. Isn't the time of death for the bodies at least 7 years ago?
Exactly, and the hospital logo is less than 2 years old.
I don't understand. It's exactly the same logo. That can't be a coincidence.
I was thinking the same thing.
Wasn't Dr. Ayers on the hospital approval committee?
Yes, and Dr. Bobber, as well as some members of the board.
Do you think that's why Dr. Ayers left?
What? You don't think it was Dr. Ayers, do you?
No, of course not. But I think that he may know who the killer is. We need to figure out who originally presented the logo for consideration.
I'm worried about him.
Me too. Hey, Dr. Bopper's working tonight. He might know who presented the logo. That might help us determine where Dr. Ayers went.
The more important question is how do we get out of here?
What was that?
It sounded like one of the examination trays. Someone must have knocked it over.
But there's no one here but us, right?
I hope.
I'll just take a quick peek and be right back.
Be careful.
Lizzie, Tony is out there.
Tony? The food services guy? What's he doing out there? He doesn't have access to this floor.
I know. He's trying to get into Dr. Ayers' office. He seems to have a lockpick with him. He really wants to get into the office.
How did he get in here? His card shouldn't give him access to this area.
It's because of the power issue. The doors failed to open to allow people to leave. Otherwise, we would be trapped until the power came back.
So, he knew this was going to happen? He waited just enough time to make sure everyone cleared out, and then he let himself in.
I'll see if he got in yet. Be right back.
Okay, be very careful.
He got in.
What do you think he's doing?
I don't know. Wait a minute. I have your system on its own network, with its own uninterruptible power supply.
So?
That means that the power in that office is up. The computer is up. More importantly, the camera is up. The camera broadcasts its own Wi-Fi signal so you can connect and view the footage locally.
So, that means you can see what's going on in the office right now.
Exactly. I already have the app on my phone, so I should be able to connect. There. It's connecting now.
Wow, that's a pretty clear image.
I know. It's impressive. I can also pan in and zoom wherever I want.
What's that on his arm?
Where? On his right forearm? Is that?
Yes, that's the same marking.
He has a tattoo of the same logo on his arm.
Why would he have a tattoo like that on his right forearm, and why did he break into Dr. Ayers' office?
I'm not sure, Lizzie, but if we find that out, we may find out how all those bodies ended up at the mass grave.
What was that noise?
The generator finally kicked in. Power should be coming on in any second.
Where did Tony go? I don't see him on the camera any longer.
What? He was just there. He'd have to walk past us to leave this room.
What's that on the floor? Where he was standing?
Is that? It can't be. It looks like...
blood. That certainly looks like blood.
But it wasn't there a second ago. We got distracted by the noise of the generator starting. And now Tony's gone. And there's what looks like blood on the floor.
I'm not liking this, Noah.
I know. No offense. But I really don't like being out here in the basement either.
Now that the lights are on, I think it's safe for us to leave our hiding spot.
Do we have to? The nicest thing about this was sitting in the dark in a closet with you.
Is that your idea of flirting? No wonder you're still single.
Ouch. Okay, let's leave the closet. Hey, Lizzie. How many bodies were there before the lights went out?
5. Why?
Are you sure?
Noah, you know how serious I take my responsibilities. Of course I'm sure. See, count them for yourself. 1, 2, 3. Wait. There are 2 bodies missing.
I was afraid you were going to say that. Come on. Let's go see if that really is blood on the floor in Dr. Ayer's office.
I'll have to run a quick test, but it sure looks like blood.
Do you see how a trail of it is left behind? Almost looks like something was dragged. It ends at that wall.
Do you see what look like scuff marks on the side of the blood trail?
Yes, sort of like shuffling feet. I thought I heard feet shuffling out in the hallway when I was looking for the elevator.
That confirms it. That definitely is blood on the floor.
Oh my. Is that Tony's ID card?
Where? Oh, on the floor by the wall?
Not just by the wall, but look how it actually goes under it.
Noah, let's get out of here. I don't like this feeling I'm getting.
I know what you mean. But shouldn't we go inspect the wall and figure out what we can find?
Noah, I really want to go. You've been after a date with me for months now. Let's finally do it. Let's go on that date so you can tell me how beautiful I am.
Are you serious?
Yes, Noah. Take me out and help me forget this night.
If you put it that way, lead the way.
Not again.
Looks like the lights are out again. I guess the generator stopped? I don't think we can leave yet.
Why does this always have to happen on a Friday?
You say that like it happens to you all the time.
Noah, I have something to tell you.
I'm listening.
I know that you like me and, honestly, I like you too, a lot, actually. I haven't gone out with you, because I didn't want to drag you into my mess.
What do you mean?
This is going to sound crazy.
Lizzie, you know how much I respect you. I'll believe anything you tell me.
Okay, dead people talk to me. There, I said it.
What do you mean, dead people talk to you?
Sometimes, a person's spirit stays around and I can see them. If the spirit realizes that I see them, then they usually will also speak to me. It's a matter of helping them realize that they are dead. Once they come to terms with that, the spirit disappears.
Wow. How long have you been able to do that?
It happened around puberty, with my great aunt Diwata. It was the first time I had seen a dead body. We were at the wake and as I neared the coffin, I noticed a confused looking woman looking down at my great aunt. I didn't really know much about my great aunt. I had only met her a few months previously when she came from the Philippines. I knew that twins ran in the family, so I assumed she was my aunt's twin. I said hello to her and offered her my condolences. I then sat down next to my grandmother and noticed the woman looking at me curiously. I told my grandmother that Aunt Duwata's sister was very sad. It must be hard to lose a twin. My grandmother looked at me oddly and asked me what I meant by it. I pointed out the lady by the coffin and realized that I could see through her. She also seemed to be hovering, with her feet not touching the floor. She started floating towards me. That's when my grandmother noticed how pale I got. My grandmother grabbed my hand and told me, "Tell your Aunt Duwata that I love her and then say Awalana." So, I did. The spirit of my great Aunt Duwata stopped, looked at my grandmother and said Mahal na Mahal Kita. She then shed a tear and disappeared. I told my grandmother what was said and she began to cry. I found out later that my Aunt Duwata had said, I love you very much, and my grandmother had told her sister to be gone. My grandmother Dallace then told me that our family had been given the responsibility of helping the lost. Her mother and aunt were also able to see and speak to the dead. She told me not to be afraid of them, that they wouldn't hurt me, they just needed to be told that their time above the ground was over. It has been that way for me ever since.
Wow. I had no idea. That must be so hard on you. Is that why you became an autopsy specialist?
This has affected every part of my life. I haven't been able to have a long-term relationship or hold any regular job for any length of time. If I don't seek the spirits out, they seem to find me on their own. Can you imagine being on a date when all of a sudden, a dead person pops up and wants to talk to me? It has been so hard on me.
Lizzie, I'm sorry you've been given this burden. Let's just get through this together, and then talk about how I can help you with your burden.
Do you mean it?
Lizzie, I care about you very much. Of course I mean it. I couldn't tell Lizzie that I fell in love with her months ago. My heart's breaking seeing her so vulnerable and feeling her raw pain. She's just the nicest person. She shouldn't have been going through this alone. I was gonna fix this somehow.
Okay, I saw the spirits of the two missing bodies earlier today. They were trying to speak, but something seemed to be stopping them. They were also different than any spirits I have ever seen. Then had an odd greenish hue to them. That is not normal. Spirits are usually the same color as when they were alive, but a little washed out and transparent.
Do you think they wanted to tell you something about their death?
Probably, but I can't be sure about that.
There must be some type of sliding door. That would explain how Tony's ID card seems to be coming from behind the wall. We just have to find a way to open it.
Dr. Ayers had a new bookcase installed a few months ago when I was on vacation. I found that odd since he told me that he uses an Amazon Kindle for all of his reading.
I hope there's nothing special about that bookcase. If there is, then it means
that Dr. Ayers knows what is going on.
Do you see that book on the third shelf? The one to the right?
The Trials and Tribulation of the Murdered?
Yes. Doesn't it seem like an odd title to you?
It does, especially since it is volume 26. Let me see if I can grab it from the shelf.
Lizzie, you did it! The wall just slid open.
That means that Dr. Ayers is in on whatever is going on.
What do we do now?
I guess we go in and find out where this leads.
Okay, hold on while I grab a flashlight. We're gonna need this. Are you ready, Lizzie?
As ready as I'll ever be. Let's go.
Noah turned on the flashlight and entered the secret passage with Lizzie close behind him. They walked for about 5 minutes, following all the twists and turns.
Lizzie, how far do you think this passage goes?
I'm not sure. From my estimate, I think we should be somewhere near the electrical room. I hope we can find a way out, and more importantly, figure out what's going on.
Lizzie slipped her hand into his, as they neared a light at what seemed to be the end of the passage.
Lizzie, I think we found the exit. I'll put my ear by the wall and try to hear if there's anyone on the other side. Here, you better hold the flashlight just in case.
Okay, be careful.
As Noah made his way to the end of the passage to listen for any sounds, they heard the shuffling of feet coming their way from behind them.
Noah, do you hear that?
I sure do. I don't think we have time to figure out if someone is on the other side. Let's make a run for it.
Lizzie had already run past him before Noah finished his sentence. He quickly overtook her and launched himself at the wall, hoping to crash through what looked like simple drywall. His luck held as he easily went through the drywall, landing on his shoulder as he fell through.
Noah, are you okay?
Yes, I'm okay.
Noah said to Lizzie, as he brushed off drywall dust from his hair and shoulders.
Where are we?
It looks like part of the new add-on where physical rehab is going to be.
Thank God for low-bid construction. If that had been a double drywall, we'd still be back in the passageway.
Noah looked into the dark passageway and said,
we better get moving. Whatever we heard in there wasn't far behind.
Look, isn't that the same blood trail that we started following? Let's keep following it.
Shouldn't we get some help?
Think about it, Noah. We found this passage down in the basement and somehow it ended up on the first floor. There's no way this could have been done without someone higher up knowing about it. Who do you think we could trust?
You're right. We can't risk trusting anyone until we get to the bottom of this.
Noah grabbed Lizzie's hand as they followed the trail of blood left by what looked like a body being dragged.
It looks like the trail is going towards a dig site out back.
I can't understand how Dr. Ayers can be involved in any of this. He just can't be.
I don't want to believe it either. The only thing that we do know for sure is that the passage either starts or ends at his office. The bookcase that you found the opening to the passage in was installed while you were away. And I imagine he would have approved of the bookcase construction. I mean, maybe he's innocent in all of this? We just won't know until we find out what's going on at the dig site. Let's just keep going.
Okay, I hope we can clear his name, but if he is guilty then we should find that out too. I'm with you all the way.
Great. Let's grab some things that we might need and head to the dig site.
Thanks for everything, Noah.
Sure. It's nothing.
No, I mean it. Thank you for believing me and for seeing this through with me. There aren't many guys that would be willing to believe me. If they did believe me, even fewer would stay. Most would probably look at me like I was damaged or just a mental person.
I don't think that at all.
I know, that's what I mean. You're genuinely a nice guy. When this is all over, I'll take you to my favorite spot to eat, and we can get to know each other better.
I'd like that.
Me too. Anyway, do you have everything that we might need?
I think so. Let's see, we have some rope, a crowbar, a hammer, this cordless nail gun, another flashlight, oh, and a box of nails. Pretty cool what you can find at an active construction site. Are you sure we shouldn't at least call the police?
Do you remember who the chief of police is?
Of course. I played a few rounds of golf with him and Dr. Bobbers.
Noah scratched his head trying to remember the chief's name.
Tyreek is his name. Tyreek Lofton.
Noah's eyes widened at a sudden realization.
Wait. His last name is Lofton.
Exactly. Just like one of the board of directors at the hospital. The chief of police is the brother of Dr. Lofton.
We really can't trust anyone yet, can we?
I think it's safer for us if we just trust each other for now.
I agree. It's already dark outside. We should be able to sneak onto the dig site without anyone seeing us. Let's try to find that blood trail again.
Lead the way.
Lizzie helped Noah stuff everything into a paramedic bag that they found and they slowly made their way outside. They stuck to the shadows to avoid being spotted by anyone. Lizzie was able to see the drag marks of the body being pulled and directed them to a spot right past the construction trailer where there was a big pit.
The trail ends right at the top of the pit.
How were you able to see that? I couldn't see any tracks at all.
Let's just say that the spirits were lighting the way for me.
So they wanted us to find the pit?
Yes, I'm pretty sure they want us to see what is in the pit.
Noah made his way to the top of the pit, while he aimed at the light poles with the nail gun. He was remarkably accurate with it and took out all the lights by the time they made it to the pit. The flashlight that Lizzie had also had an infrared filter on it. They were able to look down into the pit without drawing any attention to themselves. What they saw almost made them scream in complete and utter terror. They didn't need the red glow from the flashlight after all. The pit itself was glowing green from what could only be described as. Thank you for listening to 26 Podcast. Please leave us a 5-star rating on Apple iTunes, or wherever you listen. Did you know that we have a Patreon page? You can send us one-time or monthly support by visiting www.patreon.com/26podcast. That's patreon.com/26podcast. You can also now wear a t-shirt showing your support by going to happyfacespace.com and buying some of our fantastic merchandise. Be the first of your friends drinking from a 26 Podcast coffee mug while wearing a 26 Podcast t-shirt. Also make sure to visit our website at 26podcast.com. Some of us like to read your emails, so keep sending them to info@26podcast.com. Follow us on Twitter @26podcast. Someone please call my agent, I cannot continue to work with such amateurs. I mean, what does 26podcast even mean?